Everyone, please stand and give a warm welcome to Newark's Mayor, Roz J. Baraka.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Please, thank you. This is the 11th time that I've been here before you doing this. And before I begin, I just want to introduce somebody to you guys. 17-year-old Angel Ortiz from Arts High School, who, come on out, Angel. I want you to see Angel. Angel Ortiz has been accepted into all of the Ivy League universities in the country. All of them. Seven. That's all to me. We thank you. I don't want to further embarrass you, but we thank you. And I thought that we should give him a round of applause. His family is here. I know they're excited. And I think it's important because we're always talking about and highlighting our children in a negative light. That it's important that we celebrate our young people when they do something as awesome as this young man has done. God bless you, sir. That was the good news. But earlier today, the United States Supreme Court began to give a date for oral arguments for the federal administration or the Donald Trump administration to argue against the injunction on them being able to deport birthright citizens or the undermining of the 14th Amendment of the Constitution of the United States. So several federal judges, after he signed an executive order basically attacking birthright citizenship, filed an injunction and won. That's the good news. The bad news is they went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court is about to hear an oral argument that would get them to stay those injunctions while the matter goes through the court process. And you know the court process is long. And so while it goes through that court process, if they win, they'll be able to deport people who are actually born in the United States. So I really want to tell Donald Trump and all the folks that agree with him that if you aren't a member of the Choctaw, the Navajo, the Cherokee, the Apache, Blackfeet, the Lenni Lenape, then your ancestors came here undocumented. And if you came from them and were born here in the United States, your citizenship is based on your birth. This is possible because of the 14th Amendment of the Constitution that was established after slavery, when former enslaved Africans and radical Reconstructionists ratified the Constitution of the United States and established the 14th Amendment so that we could become citizens of this country and subject to the laws and due process therein. It was a pushback against the Dred Scott decision of 1857 that said we had no rights, that people were bound to respect. So they were smart enough to understand that we had to become citizens, and based on our birth in this country, that should make us citizens. And so now, since then, everyone has used the 14th Amendment to establish citizenship in the United States. They knew this, and so they attacked it. This is a very grave period we're in. I think we've allowed it to get here because we forgot our old hymnals. We stopped the church meetings. And we don't hum anymore. We've come so far and we're so good with what we have that we feel good and we forgot where we came from. I remember the old hymns, oh freedom, oh freedom, oh freedom over me, and before I be a slave, I'd be buried in my grave, and go home to my Lord, and be free. Yeah. Those old hymns remind us that our God is bigger. Our God is bigger than every machination, everything you come up with, every evil plot and plan, every destructive force and idea, every iteration of evil you think about, everything you create, our God is bigger. And there were some people in the backwoods of Mississippi who knew that, and they sung, oh, freedom. Let me get to what I came here for. Council President Crump, directors, my esteemed colleagues, elected officials, dignitaries, clergy, and the interfaith community, and my incredible and beautiful, diverse residents of one of the nation's oldest and greatest cities. I say, lift your head up and be joyful. Be joyful in the face of some of the worst and most divisive opposition we have faced in centuries. I say rejoice. Rejoice. How can we lose faith now when hundreds of years before we sang songs under the terror of the whip of the overseer? How can we lose faith now when our ancestors with rice tied in their hair and hush puppies in their pocket on a run still prayed for this day in the Carolina swamps with dogs on their heels? How dare we lose faith when those before us journeyed long ways through impossible terrain, fleeing war and starvation, looking for a land they only heard stories about? How can we lose faith when our parents and grandparents endured unbelievable hardships in a language they couldn't speak in other people's kitchens, cleaning other people's floors and shining other people's shoes, watching other people's children doing other people's laundry, sacrificing all they had for a big dream and a whole lot of faith? Often leaving other people behind, trying to forge a way in the promised land, only to be met by cruel indifference and deep inequity, but had the will and creativity to build their dreams out of determination and prayer. And we, all of us, and all of our complexions, are here in this great hall because Newark became a stop, this port city, a stop in a road to democracy, where many of us still remain. It became a launch pad for everything we hold dear today. Generations before us believed that America was a work in progress, that if we couldn't find democracy, we would build it. If we couldn't find opportunity, we created it. It's so good to be here today. So good to be here today. I'm so excited to be alive and well during these tumultuous and dangerous times. I'm thankful to God that I still have hope, that I still believe, and that I still see victory on the horizon in the middle of this storm. That I still have breath in my lungs and grit in my teeth. My heart still loves and my mind still works. I thank God that I can fight back, by building a world that my 99-year-old grandmother, who we just buried, would be proud of. That no matter how they talk about this great city, this beautiful city, or the incredible people in it, I'm damn proud to be a Newarker. And look at the things we have done. We never gonna turn around. We never going back. We always going forward. Forward ever, backward never. Forward ever, backward never. The first mayor of this city, William Halsley, became mayor at a time of enormous change and transition. The city was being converged upon by industrialists and entrepreneurs, inventors and developers. The population was increasing and the physical landscape of the city was starting to change and the government itself was being formulated. At that time, Andrew Jackson was the president of the United States. Some documents identify him as being responsible for laying the framework for democracy and uplifting the common man. But ironically, he was also known for the Indian Removal Act, or the forced displacement of Native Americans. He was also known for his expansion of executive power, sometimes at the expense of Congress, and the fact that he owned more than 100 slaves. Now, there are some that would want me to take this fact out of my speech or pretend these contradictions didn't exist, that while this nation freed itself of tyranny, millions of people were still in bondage. They want us to erase history, which is really the thing that makes this country who we are, and more importantly, sets us on a path of who we can actually become. The idea that the grandson of a garment worker from the segregated South that landed on Clinton Place in Newark can become the city's 40th mayor and a top contender to be the first black governor of the state of New Jersey. This is only an American story. A story we shouldn't hide. A story that informs our future and makes the democracy we are continuing to build that much more sacred. But like the time of Halsey here in Newark, under the national canopy of confusion and chaos, we are building a tent of unity. And while they are trying desperately to attack working families, undermine the Constitution and the very tenets of democracy, we are risking our well-being trying to uphold it. And as they try to make our diversity a burden, a barrier, we are using it to grow our economy. And as tariffs loom above our heads, here we are working with our corporate community to create jobs, to invest in local business, to tackle homelessness, not by arresting people, but by servicing them. We're trying to build more affordable housing and train our workforce. Our public safety is working with our community, not labeling them. We are reducing crime together in partnership and not scapegoating each other. We're inviting industry and working with our port community, incubating technology and growing our population. Our skyline is changing and our businesses are coming back. We are tackling environmental challenges in the air and the water. We are sending students to college through scholarships and guaranteed education programs. We are putting people into homes and creating entrepreneurs and developers. We are supporting our artists and our art institutions. There's a lot they can learn from the struggles of a simple people in a city on the other side of the Hudson. And 2 days ago, we witnessed many of our students, 16 and 17 years old, go vote for the first time in the state's history. And I know there are skeptics and cynics that are out there that are saying not many of them came out. But the ratio of the young people that voted versus the amount that was registered was actually greater than the adults who voted based on the ones that registered. And I would argue that democracy has humble beginnings and that our young people needed to be given this shot. And then ultimately, one day, when we understand why this is important, to walk our kids through civics, then we would have found it not robbery to have the voting booths in the kids' schools, to invite them down at lunchtime and make them vote during lunch, or have a civics lesson in the auditorium with the teachers and the principal and the vice principal, and talk to them about the history and importance of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and voting and what democracy was about. Then when it was over, you should have lined them up and marched them to the cafeteria and fed them. Then after you fed them, you should allow them to vote, everybody that was registered. Then you would have had 100% of the voter turnout for young people. But we think educating young people on civics is a burden. And that is even more burdensome to get them to vote. We barely do it. When we begin to understand that democracy is not a game, or understand that the storm we are in now is because we refuse to participate, teach others to participate, engage in it, and bring people out, then maybe we would take it more serious. I want to thank the young people from all of the schools who came out and voted. I want to thank them for leaving their school after school and journeying to a voting site that they just learned about. Maybe out of this, we'll get same-day registration and allow kids and adults to vote the same day they register. Or maybe we'll get 18-year-olds automatically registered to vote, just like you get your driver's license. Maybe we become an actual real democracy and open it up so it becomes easy to vote and not throw 200,000 people off of the rolls. Here in Newark, we are using art to expand our economy, to create jobs and opportunity, to be inclusive and leverage our diversity, to lift our spirit and to inform our direction. The expansions of NJPAC and the Newark Museum of Art, combined with the Lionsgate Film and TV Studio, are expected to generate over $1 billion in economic impact. Besides those milestones, we're still going strong with our Creative Catalyst Fund that has supported over 500 local artists with millions of dollars in grants.
Arts is always, to me, an economic lever for cities, period. People go to New York because they want to go to plays and movies and entertainment. That's why they go there. So us using the art here in our city, the city that's always been known for arts, to bring the city back is what we've been interested in, what we've been investing in, and NJPAC is a way to get that done.
Breaking and the building of Museum Park.
You know, at a time when you need affordable housing, at a time when you need housing, and you need arts and culture, this project here combines both.
Today we are here for a community pool party and mural celebration. It really helps, I think, to enliven children's imaginations, maybe even create some future artists, and overall just, you know, create a sense of joy.
This has allowed Newark to be listed as the 8th most vibrant art city in the country. The people you see up here are responsible for countless arts projects, 75 murals in collaboration with the project Empty Space, Newark's first poet laureate, all the art that you see happening in the city from all of these wonderful people that you see on the stage here today. And we didn't stop there. As the state struggles with trying to invest in Black, brown, and women-owned businesses, in the last 4 years, we have invested almost $200 million and our anchor institutions, spending on local businesses is up by 36%, growing from 161 to 214 businesses being supported. We created 16 more homeowners, put more people in houses using housing choice vouchers, was named the second year in a row a digital trailblazer because of our work on expanding broadband and incubating technology from hacks to NJII. In fact, in a recent article in Forbes magazine, it reads, "Is Newark the next Silicon Valley?" Marcus Randolph, president and CEO of Invest Newark, said in 2024, "We invested in serving others. It is evident in the new homeowners we helped, the businesses we launched, and the partnerships we built."
The sole emphasis of this was to build community. It's the most important aspect of CrossFit.
$380,000 with a Housing Authority Section 8 voucher.
I'm gonna cry. I'm crying, I'm lying. I finally got a piece of the pie.
Wow! Let's give these business owners and homeowners a round of applause up here today. All of these guys, from retail developers to housing developers to business owners here and folks that have moved into their homes, we thank them for believing in Newark, for investing in Newark, for building in Newark. We appreciate you. We love you. And look at the diversity of the people on this stage who are doing business in the city of Newark. Somebody take a picture of this so we can mail it right to Donald Trump. Couple of the businesses are up here: Life Assets Affordable Housing, Consigliere Wine Bar, Delta's Restaurant here in Newark, Dynamic Digital Air, Exquisite Properties, Glass Roots, Grey Star Unlimited, Honey Pot, Montessori School, Catherine's Restaurant and Brewery, Newark Culture Club, Three Brothers Construction, many, 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 many more. I can't name all these folks up here, but thank you. We appreciate you. We love you. God bless you. And we are not stopping here. We're continuing our housing first strategies around homelessness, and we expanded our PATH home texting service. We grew our outreach team to include a metro division with psychiatric treatment and counseling services with the help of our community partners. We expanded the time to 24 hours and are in the process of partnering with the Newark Alliance and NJ Transit to develop an outreach team just for Penn Station Newark. And that's not all. We joined with the Newark Housing Authority to identify and begin to put our chronic homeless in 200 apartments renovated by the city of Newark. And we have already begun to move people in.
Except for me, neither. Me just the story.
A beautiful story. I was at a forum recently, and one of the candidates said, no disrespect, Mayor, there are only three cranes in the air in the city of Newark. Well, the best way to defuse a lie is to share the truth. Newark has billions of dollars of development going on right now, which includes Newark Summit Tower, 200 Market Street, 579 units, 20% affordable, 11,000 square feet of retail. The Fireman's Insurance Building, 10 Park Place, transferring a historic landmark building into a 231-unit affordable housing complex. These people are talking about things they want to do or ideas that they hope to accomplish. Well, I tell them, come visit us in Newark and we'll show you how to get these things done. The Ballantyne Project on 80 Freeman Street, redeveloping an old brewery into housing. Rise Living, Phase 2 and 3, developed by Queen Latifah. And not to mention, Barai Development's third tower going up on city's waterfront as we speak. Or the 48 parcels given to 16 community development organizations that will add 88 additional affordable units. My mother would say to them, no investigation, no right to speak. And before I get into the accomplishments of our public safety ecosystem, I would like for us to pause for a second to recognize two great Newarkers, two heroes that we lost in a short period of time of each other. First is Jairo Rodriguez, a traffic cop whose smile and demeanor brightened the darkest of days. And Sergeant Joseph Anthony Ascona, he was Newark born and raised and was determined to make our city safe and paid the ultimate sacrifice so we can make it to this hall safely here this evening. These men were some of our best. So let's have a moment of silence for them too. Thank you. We are proud of our public safety department. This is not the Newark they used to make mockery of. Crime is continuing by God's grace to trend downward with notable reductions in homicides and shootings. We are continuing to expand our precincts and further train our officers. We are improving technology, better equipping our officers and improving public safety response times. We are continuing to strengthen our community relations and removing barriers between law enforcement and residents. And more importantly, in May of last year, Newark and the Department of Justice filed a joint motion to the court to eliminate most of the consent decree that we've been under for the past decade. This represents a huge milestone in substantial improvements in police accountability, the use of force, and community relations. And we are equally proud of our community partners in public safety led by the Office of Violence Prevention and Trauma Recovery. They have been critical assets in ensuring that we have provided real support to public safety, both to our community and law enforcement. We have been recognized across the country for our innovation in public safety and have consistently hosted cities from Chicago to Baltimore. The entire ecosystem has been a beacon of hope, providing real trauma recovery and violence prevention. BCPC partners with over 50 organizations, including schools, universities, hospitals, sharing data, coordinating services, and responding to community needs to help reduce violence where it originates. In fact, in 2024, we partnered with the National League of Cities to host a national data retreat. And this data-driven strategy earned us the Silver Certification Award from Bloomberg Philanthropies in What Works Cities. They also established a Peace Academy for 50 high-risk youth with a curriculum rooted in self-awareness, healing, and purpose-driven leadership. We are so proud to have our Newark First EMS Corps, offering young adults a career pipeline into healthcare while building local capacity to respond to healthcare emergencies. And our Guaranteed Education Program now has 60 students currently on track to graduate with college degrees debt-free, no tuition, no room and board, free. And seven of those students are on the dean's list with GPAs above 3.4. And one of them is preparing for international study as we speak. I want to invite some of these young people on the stage so you get a chance to look at them. We are breaking generational cycles of poverty and creating real hope in the lives of young people in our city. See, the College of St. Elizabeth, they're a little deep over here on the right. But we also have students at Rutgers as well. These young people have excelled against difficult odds. Given a pathway, a bridge, a light in darkness, they are able to show how beautiful and incredible our city really is. Our kids just need a hand, support, a lift. And they will do what these young people have done for us here today. God bless you, and thank you for coming out today. Thank you. We also, through the Office of Violence Prevention, funded over 40 organizations to provide trauma-based support, engaging thousands of individuals, held almost 300 community walks, engaged almost 1,000 businesses and responded to over 200 crises situations in our city. We have expanded Safe Passageway to School to support our children before and after school. And we have stood up a brand new community center in the West Ward to support young people in a neighborhood that desperately needed it. We instituted a juvenile curfew that saw a reduction in youth crime and victimization led by social workers and outreach workers. Before I move on, I would like all of our public safety ecosystem to stand. The public safety director, our chiefs, the brass, Office of Violence Prevention, Brick City Peace Collective, our community partners. I just want you to see the people that do the actual work in our city and give you an opportunity to give them a round of applause. Thank you. Furthermore, we are supporting our residents with housing opportunity, recreation, trauma and safety, art and culture, development and industry, and at the same time, taking care of our finances. It is possible to take care of people and families and take care of business at the same time. In fact, investing in families is investing in the business of the city. The business of government is actually people. Our product is family. Our bread is buttered in how well we can serve our communities. So we filed our annual debt statement and financial statement on time for the second year in a row, which hasn't been done in the last 20 years. Moody's credit rating upgraded our rating once again, the second time since I've been the mayor. Reflecting, what does it mean? Reflecting improved financial health and investor confidence in our city because we have consistently added new revenue streams, allowing us to have a 20% surplus without relying on state aid or deficit financing, which is proof that our local economy continues to grow, reinforcing our significance as a regional economic driver. And we did this while our personnel office worked with us to increase our minimum city employee salary to over $40,000. This impacted over 200 employees. And we secured $8 million to reduce employee healthcare costs, save $4 million on prescription costs, and announced at our all-city meeting yesterday that we had taken steps to embark upon reference-based pricing for healthcare that would significantly reduce their out-of-pocket costs and costs to our overall budget as well. To all that continue to push the old, tired, and often racist narrative of our city, I say, have you been here lately? We are Newark, always will be. We are Newark Forward, always will be. We rise from from difficult situations. We rise from ashes. We rise from humble beginnings, but we rise. I continue to be proud of our city. I continue to be proud of our water and sewer department. Our lead level testing is now at 0 parts per billion. In fact, our lead service replacement line program is featured in a major exhibition at the Center for Disease Control Museum in Atlanta, Georgia, entitled Health is a Human Right. Yeah. A couple of years ago, we wouldn't be able to say that. All of the journalists and reporters from around the country were moving into Newark, were setting up shop in front of City Hall. Some even asked questions 2 days ago about the lead service lines. And so my answer tonight is that we are at zero, and that we are in the exhibit in Atlanta at the Center for Disease Control, that we took a problem, a crisis, and turned it into an opportunity, that we are an example for the rest of the country, and that there are other states in America that are getting money to replace their lead service lines because of the people of Newark, New Jersey, who took a problem in their hands and solved it. We have also launched our Rain Ready Newark Initiative, a green infrastructure initiative aimed at reducing flooding and improving stormwater management, installing our first rain garden at Sussex Ave and Day Street. We are trying to mitigate through the Office of Sustainability the city's heat island index, because we are one of the hottest cities in the country, and our children suffer from asthma greater than most around the state. We've already planted some 152 trees citywide, and have plans before the end of the year to plant hundreds more to amplify our tree canopy that will protect us from extreme heat and clean our air from particulate matter. We also acquired 8 electric garbage trucks to do our part in clean energy. We are initiating this year a cool roofs program to reduce energy costs and mitigate urban heat. We are allocating $50,000 for youth-led sustainability projects. We invested in the enhancement of urban farming to address challenges of food insecurity. And I would like to mention a few standout partners that use our Love Your Block mini grants in innovative and effective ways. Shout out to the brothers building a better nation. They installed 8 dog waste stations to improve cleanliness on Clark Street and the Clark Street Block Association, conducted a major cleanup and added decorative flower beds. Northwest Developers enhanced Hope Village with bench repairs and landscaping. Steam Urban Farms established a 1/4-acre community garden in the North Ward. And the South Ward Youth Landscapers train young residents in urban landscaping and maintenance. These are just a few people that love their block and love their city. They just don't pull out their phones and videotape. They organize their neighbors and get to work making all of our lives better. Not from City Hall, but from their own neighborhoods. I want to take this time so I don't forget to recognize the Department of Recreation and Senior Services for over 40% growth in participation in rec services and successfully opening our pools earlier in May. That's extremely important, because people always argue there's nothing for our young people to do. I want to also thank them for opening up Reverend Chambly Square Park on Huntington. You can see the before and after photos. This park has been abandoned for at least a decade or more in a neighborhood that desperately needs the park. In fact, we won an award, and when they came to see if we would get the award, they found the young boy from the housing building across the street who had climbed the fence of the new park and was playing on the new swings and the new infrastructure we built there. And the people who came in there saw him, this must be a good park. He said, this is the best park that Newark has ever had. I want to shout out the People's Assembly for distributing Ring cameras and helping to start new block associations and tenant groups. And the Department of Public Works for beginning the work to demolish unsafe structures around our city. All of this adds to the vibrancy and safety of our community and the engagement of our residents. We appreciate you and all of our directors and employees that sacrifice every day, sometimes without recognition or a simple thank you. Our journey is not an easy one or a quick fix. It's a long and protracted one. But we know victory does not belong to the quick, but to those that endure to the end. I love this city with everything I have, and I know you do too. And I want you to know that this time, in this moment, in this chaos, this whirlwind that we are in nationally, the rising hatred and the dismantling of democracy, this is our David moment. And the giant is at the gates. Newark, we're gonna face attacks, not just nationally, but right here in this very state, and even in our city. I know I put you in harm's way by entering myself in this statewide event. Our unity now is more important than anything else. We have to stop the petty attempts to undermine each other. They're going to try to tear us down, divide us, and amplify our mistakes, our collective issues, our struggles, our stumbles, our shortcomings, the times we fall. But we have a right to fall, and we also have a right to get up. They're going to try to blame you for the very holes they dug and threw you in themselves. But this is our David moment. I don't want you to forget who you are and how you got here. What generations have given up for you to sit in this space today. I want you to remember your grandmama's mama smile as they made poverty look easy, as they took orange juice and added water and sugar and made it orangeade, as they took beans and rice from the back porch or the basement and fed the whole block. The pain in your daddy's voice as he had to forego his humanity to put food on your table. Newark, we were not given a spirit of fear. We have always been under attack. We were born outnumbered, surrounded, and in duress. It's always been an uphill battle for us, and the odds have never been in our favor. But look what we have done in spite of it all. Look how good you look, Newark, how far you have come. Look at the things you have accomplished. He didn't bring us this far to leave us now. There's a reason that God doesn't get rid of your enemies, because he wants them around to witness you eat. To witness you feast in the middle of their attempt to steal your joy. He needs them around to elevate you, to boost you, to be your footstool. Even in your darkest moments, we still shine. Look at some of the headlines. The future of public safety is in Newark, the Nation magazine. Obama to recognize Newark as a national model for violence prevention, NJ.com. Vice President Harris points to Newark as a model for lead replacement, the Associated Press. Newark reduces street homelessness by almost 60%. New Jersey Department of Community Affairs, Newark is expanding its successful homeless program, CBS News. Newark opens more transitional housing, NJ Spotlight. Newark transforms iconic landmark into affordable housing, Freddie Mac. Small businesses power Newark's economic success, PBS. The future of Newark is now. Brick City transforms into Live, Work, and Play, New Jersey Business Magazine. Is Newark the next Silicon Valley, Forbes Magazine? Why Newark? Yes, Newark is leading the way on urban development. Leaders from around the country are taking notice, ROI, New Jersey. Queen Latifah to invest $14 million in affordable housing, Essence Magazine. Let them come, Newark. Let them come. We have three small, smooth stones and a worn-out rag. We just sheep herders protecting our flock with big dreams and a bigger God. That's us in the back of the class, in the back of the house, in the back room. That's us, the people you look over, the cornerstone, the cornerstone. Yeah, the dark stone that became the cornerstone. That's us, a proud city, a city of immigrants, both documented and undocumented, came here looking for their dreams and a democracy held in the hearts of the people in this humble port city. Our neighbors who dine on black rice and acheque, jollof and collard greens, mango and sardines with olive oil, arroz con adules and macaroni and cheese, escovitch fish and ceviche. We are proud, diverse people, and we will not hide. We will not run. We will not cower. We will not back down. We are going to continue to lean in on diversity, equity, and inclusion because history demands it. History demands it. In fact, let me show you how good diversity and equity and inclusion has been to us. Let me introduce you to a few people. Our Deputy Mayor, Lygia De Freitas. Our Deputy Mayor, Jacqueline Quiles. If you're here, stand up. Deputy Mayor, Lakeisha Urey. Deputy Mayor, Allison Ladd. Director, Darlene Tate. Director, Kalisha Wingfield Hill. Director Dolores Wooden, Dr. Charnay Brown, Clerk Keisha Daniels, Nicole Hewitt Cabral, Office of Sustainability, Director Shaka Lemonius, Courts, Andrea Mason from Invest Newark, Cynthia McElroy, People's Assembly, Michelle Morgan Trevelyan, Arts and Education, Director Crystal Rosa, Communications Department, Fayemi Shakur, Art and Education, Director Tiffany Stewart, Head of Personnel, Victoria Walker, Art and Education District, Jolanda Williams, Assistant Business Administrator, First Assistant Corporation Counsel, Michelle Nelson, First Assistant Corporation Counsel, Amelia Perez, Section Chief, Jeanette Pavez, Section Chief, Corinne Rivers, Chief of Staff for Law, April Balknight. Our Chief Prosecutor, Yakima Jones. Section Chief, Chantel Borum. Office of Management and Budget, Priti Patel. Peru Patel, Assistant Budget Officers. Our Principal Traffic Engineer, some of these people about to come on stage, Madeline Artillez. Our Principal Engineer, Christina Tirado. Our traffic signal electrician, Zakia Womack. Supervising code enforcement officer, Shanika Fortenberry. Supervising code enforcement officer, Grace Porter. Supervising code enforcement officer, Sharonda Scarborough. Janine Hazard-Williams, manager of housing and finance. Aisha Cooper, director of redevelopment. Iman Clark, project manager, engineer. Tammy Pent, rent regulations manager. Kelly Shank, property management manager. Our chief of police, Sharonda Morris. Captain Patricia Rodriguez. Lieutenant Jennifer Bright. Lieutenant Mabet Correa. Lieutenant Latasha Taylor, Lieutenant Sequoia Martin, Sergeant Demarius Phoebus, Firefighter Randy Valle, Firefighter Aida Villalongo Cobbs, Firefighter Camilla Barnes, Firefighter Latina Bird, Arson Investigator Verishon Edwards, Captain Kenya Dunham, Tanisha Axum, supervisor, some of our truck drivers from DPW, Ellen Tenney, truck driver, Najwa Chambers, truck driver, Shakora Curry, truck driver, Elizabeth Caesar, truck driver, Yvonne Vargas, truck driver, Tammy Hubbard, truck driver, Lakeisha Darton, truck driver, Tania Kennedy, truck driver, Janice Gordon, truck driver, Ebony Stackhouse, truck driver.
just wanted to get you to get a look at it. We ain't finished. Our chemist from the Water and Sewer Department, Majida Shariah. Another chemist from the Water and Sewer Department, Keyshawn Lewis. Engineer of the Newark Aquatic Water Treatment Plant, Skylar Reed. Our forester, Ileana Anise. Chemist, Water and Sewer, Gianna Curian. Engineer from Newark Aquatic Water Treatment Plant, Erica Espiritu Santo. Our principal engineer, Newark Water and Sewer, Marina Shinoda. Supervising lab technician, the Aquatic Water Treatment Plant, Jackie Brown. Our chief chemist from Newark Water and Sewer, Celine Samuel. Zainab Islam, our animal control officer. Jenley Hawkins, lead inspector and risk assessor. Look at our diversity, our equity, our inclusion. Brilliant women who are doing difficult jobs helping our city advance. We appreciate them, we thank them in all walks of our city. God bless you and Godspeed to you. I just needed you to see how far we go. That we just not talking about window dressing. From truck drivers to engineers, from police captains and chiefs, to business managers, to the people that's taking care of our finances, to the people that's helping pick up the garbage on our streets. This is what America is. This is what it should be. And no matter how hard you try to hide it, we're gonna show it over and over and over again. And as you struggle with democracy, and struggle with the idea of diversity, in Newark, we lean into it. And no matter what they say or do, we struggle here because our families chose to. Earlier, I alluded to my grandmother. We buried her last month. She was 99 years old. The matriarch of our family. She was born just a few years after women just got the right to vote. She lived through Jim Crow and Emmett Till's body being dragged out of the Tallahatchie River, through the bombing of four black girls at Sunday school at 16th Street Baptist Church. She lived through Brown versus Board of Education and the fall of legal segregation in this country. She saw the passage of the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Bill. She saw our soldiers come home from World War II and Vietnam. Witness Martin Luther King, I Have a Dream speech and his assassination in Memphis, the death of both Kennedy brothers, and the election of Barack Obama. Her life tells our story, a young story in the scheme of things, of a nation struggling with itself to live up to its words, as King said. A nation struggling to live up to the words that they wrote on paper. Her journey here to this city is a continuation of that desire to make this country more perfect, that rests with all of us in this room. To live up to what they told us in fifth grade history class. It is this very history that makes America great, not the absence of it. Her life from the Carolinas to Clinton Place, from Clinton Place to South Orange, is all that any of us really want. A fair shot, an unobstructed opportunity, just to get our chance at bat. It is her life and lives like hers that is the substance of the things hoped for, and the evidence of the things unseen. It is her life that continues to compel us to give even when there's nothing left, to build when there's not much to build with, to rise and be present in a place that refuses to see us, that keeps us believing in impossible dreams, that even when they count us out, we keep winning. And while they keep talking, Newark, we keep building. To keep moving forward like Barack Obama said, yes, we can. Or in another way, si se puede. It is her life and that life of all of our mothers' mothers that keeps me on this battlefield. It's the life of our ancestors that journeyed thousands of miles from the Gulf of Guinea to the shores of Louisiana, through the backwoods of Mississippi and the swamps of the Carolinas, that journeyed on public transportation with everything they owned in a shoebox because they couldn't stop at Denny's. It is these people who found democracy in this port city for millions and millions of immigrants from around the world who came here not looking for vacation, but opportunity. Not for beaches, but for work. Not to be recognized, but for freedom, for justice. They came here looking for something that we had to build ourselves. We will never let it go. We will never forget it. We will always remember it. We will keep it in our hearts. We will keep it in our minds. And our fight and our struggle is for them and for our children's children. Because we want a city, we want a state, we want a country that my grandmother will be proud to live in. We want a city, we want a state, we want a country that all of our ancestors came here because they told them that this is where democracy lived. We're gonna keep struggling, we're gonna keep fighting, Newark, we're gonna keep pushing, and we're gonna stay on the battlefield. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Come on, y'all. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. What else? I promised him that I would serve him till I die. Oh, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. One more time. Yeah. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. I don't hear y'all. I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. And I promised him that I would serve him till I die. Oh, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Them old church meetings, y'all. We need those church meetings to come back. And as I close here today, I just want to thank all of you for coming out and enduring our journey and living through a very difficult and troubled time. I thank you for having courage, for using your voice, for speaking up, for continuing to show up, and for being who you are unapologetically, and for loving this city with everything that you have, and helping us build a democracy here that's the envy of this state and the envy of this country. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. My family thanks you, my extended family thanks you, my neighbors thank you, and the people who don't even know you thank you. And before I walk away, I just want to thank my wife and the First Lady of the City of Newark for being by my side in all of this, and my children who are here today, who are figuring this all out. It's not easy. It's very difficult to do the things that we do every day. As individuals, as families, as people that love humanity, people that love people, it's difficult for us to do what we do every day. And I apologize to all of you for putting you in harm's way. Because I knew the minute that I opened my mouth on this stage last year, that they would all come. and that everything that they could use in their power to undermine and demean the work that we've done in this city, that they're going to do it. That some of these folks love their position more than they love democracy. They love their proximity to power more than they love freedom. They love the history that they've created in their own mind, the relationship that they have to rulers as opposed to the relationship they have to their neighbors. They'd rather see democracy die than to take care of the least of us. They use religion to justify their greed. They think this country is greater when the rich get richer and the floor of everybody else is ripped from under them. They'd rather see us fighting over religion and language and where we live and where we're from and the color of our skin and what our nationality is and how our mama seasons our food than seeing us build a tapestry to weave it all together to create an incredible, incredible democracy that can push back against the worst of times and be innovative in most difficult times. They would rather us be still than move forward collectively. And I know that they're not angry at me, they're angry at you. And I know that the fear is not what Newark is or what Newark was, the fear is what Newark is becoming. And I know they're not afraid of little old me from Clinton Avenue and Tim Street. They're afraid of the God that our interfaith clergy prays to. They're afraid that the stories may be right, that they was wrong all the time, that their lies are gonna be exposed, and the holes that they put us in, he's gonna pull us out of. They're afraid that we're gonna win. That we're gonna win, 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 that we are going to win, that we are going to win, that we are going to win. All of us together, we're gonna win. And ain't nothing they could do about it, nothing they could say about it, no lie they can conjure up, no obstacle they can put in our way. We gonna win, 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 we gonna win. Now take that to the bank. God bless you all, God bless the great city of Newark, and God bless the state of New Jersey.